Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:39, that's Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 29th. And today in Asia, the Nikkei surged by about 2.3%, so that's following through on the upside from the result of Janet Yellen's speech on Friday at Jackson Hole, which contributed to the relative strength of the dollar, therefore the weakness of the yen, and Japan obviously needs a weaker yen in order to try and combat the deflationary pressures that remain within the economy. And of course, there is continued speculation that Japan is going to embark upon an even larger fiscal stimulus. There was a news article today quoting somebody at UBS saying that they thought it was going to be extremely large, but nonetheless, there is at least some evidence in the chart action that the yen continues to exhibit resistance in the region of the 100 yen to the dollar level, and it was a little bit weaker in here today, up to about almost 102. So that's a benefit for the Japanese stock market, and that 17,000 level, and the Nikkei is only about 270 points away from it right now. That represents the region of the moving average and the progression of lower rally highs that have been in evidence for it's over a year now. So a break above that level would begin to suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment beyond the short term, and potentially even into medium-term recovery potential. And of course, that's in nominal terms, because it would be contingent on the yen pulling back. It was a bank holiday today in the UK, but the majority of European indices were reasonably quiet, but the Italian index was down 1%. And there is continued stress within Italy about just exactly how it is going to handle the recapitalization of its banking sector within the constraints of the rules that have been handed down from Europe, and from the European Commission most particularly. And there has obviously going to be some horse trading around exactly what that is likely to be. But if past experience is anything to go by, then the rules are going to get bent for Italy, because they have such an enormous debt load, and not least relative to their tax raising capabilities. And it was a generally firm day on Wall Street as well, with the S&P up about 0.5% and the Dow up about the same amount. And that's on strengthening retail sales. So corporate profits have been declining. And I'm posting a chart today of buybacks from the first quarter of the year, which were abnormally low. And it is really rather open to question whether they're not going to just bounce back in the second and third quarters, because government bond yields were hitting new all-time lows in the second and third quarters. So that would suggest that the impetus to issue debt to take advantage of those low interest rates would have become just even more attractive. And that also helps to explain why the S&P is trading in the region of historic peaks, having broken out last month. Now, when we look at those buybacks, though, we know that companies have been issuing a great deal of debt, and obviously that debt is going to have to be rolled forward at some stage in the future. Right now, the issuance of corporate debt is one of the primary arteries for the liquidity which has helped to fuel this bull market. And of course, that has been really dependent on the flow of quantitative easing. And of course, central banks are not just now buying government bonds, but in Europe and Japan, they're buying corporate bonds. And they're buying, the Swiss National Bank is just buying equities on an absolute basis. $60 billion worth of purchases by the Swiss National Bank is a bit of a drop in the ocean relative to the quantity of shares that these companies have been buying back on of their own accord. If they have reached a point where they're no longer willing to take out additional debt, that would be rather surprising, considering that corporate spreads are still pretty tight by historical standards. But what is perhaps more important down the line is the potential for fiscal stimulus, because monetary policy is very slowly and surely being normalized within the US, and it's probably going to be a lot slower than the kind of tightening that we had after the TMT or the tech bust. And when we look at what we have, and the most particular, and I apologize for my phone ringing, but when we look at the pace of those advances in interest rates that we had from 2003 onwards, it was a quarter of a point a meeting. We're not going to get that this time. And it was one rate hike last year. It might be just one this year, and it still might be this year. When we look at what the potential is, then it's really dependent on where we are in terms of wage growth. That is the one thing I think that is likely to tip the scales. Certainly the potential for that to occur is improving, but whether that is going to break out between now and the end of the year is another question entirely. Better retail sales is certainly beneficial, because it might help to shade corporate profits and do a bit better in here, which would act to at least help the valuations on stock markets to stop rising at the rapid clip that they are already doing. So we're still in an environment which has got some questions overall, but if you look at the price action, then the S&P has been confined to what has been really a very tight range above the previous peak, that it is slowly but surely unwinding that short-term overbought condition relative to the moving average, and really a sustained move below it would be required to question the overall bullish environment. When we look at other markets, then bond markets were a bit firmer in here today, which it has pushed down the yield a little bit. So we're not getting surging bond yields, which would be a bit of a headwind for just about all risk assets. In the commodity sector, gold is relatively unchanged. This still is an overall broadly corrective environment for the precious metals, but it's only a short-term corrective environment relative to a medium-term bullish environment. So this is really just the first, and it continues to look like the first big consolidation in following the big breakout that we had earlier, and then it's likely to set us up for an attractive entry opportunity in the context of the medium-term bull market, because if we get an outright inflationary bias from central banks, then paper currency is going to lose its purchasing power, and then it is going to be the kind of assets like gold and stocks that could potentially perform in that kind of environment. Then in the oil market today, and oil has really just taken on a position all of its own, because it's by far the most important of all commodities. It was a little bit weaker in here today, and this continues to look like a rangy environment overall. And we are back in an area where a large amount of unconventional oil becomes economic once more, between about $50 and $60, and I don't think that's a condition that's likely to change anytime soon. So then it is largely dependent on just how much appetite for increasing supply do some of the major suppliers like Saudi Arabia continue to have at these levels, because they have been unsuccessful in driving the unconventional oil and gas out of the market entirely, because they are, and I think this has been a point that hasn't up an awful lot, and it is that these unconventional wells require constant drilling, and when prices go down, you can stop drilling, and that holds in the supply, and that makes them highly elastic to what happens in terms of the price action, and therefore we're in an environment where unconventional oil and gas is going to be around for a long time to come, and that is likely to continue to represent a headwind for significant moves on the upside in the oil price. And today it was a generally reasonably firm day for the dollar, but not in a dynamic fashion, not in the same kind of way that we saw on Friday. But generally speaking, overall, what we have is an environment where the dollar is continuing to strengthen on the simple basis that we have widening interest rate differentials between the expectation of increasingly wide interest rate differentials between the US and just about everywhere else. And that represents a medium-term bullish characteristic for the dollar overall. But that is also has to be tempered by the fact that the US doesn't want to have a surging dollar. So that's kind of keeping us within this range on the dollar index. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.